What's going on, Bulls Nation? Welcome back to the Whole Lot of Bull Podcast. I'm Troy. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Troy. And you can follow the show at Whole Lot of Bull. Been a few games since my last recording. Unfortunately, we've had some absolute dogshit trash games, which I don't particularly want to talk about. We all know how it went down, how bad things have looked. So I want to talk about the positives from what I've seen in these last couple of games. We've had that absolute shocking win, and I mean that in the best possible way. Win against the Milwaukee Bucks, who had Damian Lillard, who had Giannis Antetokounmpo, but we did not have Zach LaVine nor DeMar DeRozan. And yet, that was by far probably the best performance from this team all season long, or at least up until that point. I mean, the way that the game plan changed without Zach and DeMar, like, we all complain about Zach and DeMar pounding the ball, you know, especially like with DeMar, dribble, 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 pump fake, pump fake, pump fake, and then do it some more. There was none of that. It was beautiful, crisp ball movement, players moving off the ball. You know, we saw Nikola Vucevic go back to being Orlando Vuc, which only lasted the one game. It was just some absolute sensational basketball to watch. I haven't seen that happen in a while. And then we have the game against New Orleans, where DeMar's back, Zach's still out. And the one thing I did say going into the game, when DeMar was said to be active for that game, and I said this on Twitter to Justin from the Bloody Horns podcast. Go check him out if you haven't already. He's got a good show, great show over there. So shout out to you, Justin. One thing I was saying, like, the way that the ball was moving in that game against Milwaukee, the thing that I feared the most with DeMar coming back was that the tempo was going to slow down. It was going to go back to being, once DeMar's got the ball, he's going to slow down the pace. It's going to be back to his dribble, 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 pump fake, pump fake, pump fake, and get to his spots. And look, hey, DeMar is the absolute master of the mid-range. Like, he is an absolute master in that area of the game. But on the positive, while, yes, DeMar was still killing in his mid-range and getting to his spots, the tempo was still, wasn't quite as fast as the Milwaukee game, but it was still quick. The ball was moving, the ball was popping. I mean, even DeMar was, you know, we saw he looked like San Antonio DeMar, like, he had 10 assists. And still, you know, still got his buckets, 24 points, but he was efficient with it. And then Kobe friggin' White. Oh my God, like, Kobe, I put this on Twitter, but I'm going to say it out loud. Kobe, I am sorry, I was wrong. I saw Kobe as nothing but an off-the-bench microwave scorer who should never play on the ball, should never play off the ball. Kobe, I publicly apologize to you, dude. Holy shit. I did not see this coming. Like, I honestly saw Kobe's best role being the off-the-bench scorer who comes in to relieve Zach and just be that microwave scorer who just catches fire and gets you 16, 18 points off the bench. What he's been doing is absolutely insane. And yeah, he had that off-season slump to start with. Off-season slump. It was struggling with his shooting to start the season, but everything else was there with Kobe. Like, his defensive effort was there. Like, hey, he's no lockdown defender, don't get me wrong. But he's playing some of the best defense of his career. His ball handling is, I mean, that work with Johnny Dribble Too Much has absolutely paid dividends. Like, everything was going right for Kobe except his shot wasn't dropping. Now, his shots are falling, and as he's come out and said, he credits the new development coordinator and shooting coach, Peter Patton, with his shot. As Kobe, as all of you know already, Kobe's come out and said, everyone's always told him he's such a good shooter, but no one ever taught him his shot. And it was talked about, you know, you're off balance. Did you release it? Did your hand go to the right or to the left? Or little things like that about his jump shot. And that actually reminded me about some of the things I've done with my kids when trying to teach them how to shoot the ball. I mean, I always tell my boys, your base is everything, your balance is everything, and your jump shot. But then when you're going through, like say with my oldest son, Riley, going through his free throw routine, okay, you make a shot and you, like say you miss your next shot. Why did you miss it? Like, did you notice what was different about what caused you to miss that shot? And like, you know, my boy's a very smart kid. He's like, yep, I felt this and I felt like this was different. Like, I didn't have my elbow tucked in too much. Or, you know, even with, like, say, the free throw routine where, you know, he likes to do, you know, I can't really explain what my son does, but I'll use Michael Jordan, for example, how he goes the double-handed spin, three or four dribbles, double-handed spin, and then rises up for a shot. He would, like, my kid would notice that. Yeah, he didn't get his spin right, for example, or he messed up the dribble and therefore it threw him off of everything. So little things like that, and fine, while what I'm saying about my kid is more free throw related, it all blends in the same with a person's jump shot. Like you feel like, yeah, you left your shot too flat on this attempt, or you put too much arc on it, for example. Kobe's absolutely learning how. He knows he's a good shooter, but now, as he has said, he is learning his jump shot and the mechanics that actually have worked for him, and what goes wrong. He's noticing what he did wrong in the shots that he missed. Now, yeah, he's going to absolutely have shots where, you know, he shoots it completely exact in his normal mechanics, just misses a shot. Most of the time, those ones are the ones that they're like just absolutely rim in and out on you. But it's absolutely amazing to see Kobe come back into his form. He's playing aggressive. He's taken that leadership role, which he said coming into the season, he didn't think anyone actually would take his word seriously. But, I mean, you see him on the bench being a vocal leader, getting in guys' ear. And the best part about Kobe's leadership now is, he's not a dick about it. Like, he is an absolute positive, uplifting leader. And that's something that these guys also desperately need as in a leader. And then Patrick Williams, man, he's been absolutely killing it of late. Like, he's probably, I wouldn't say the absolute best stretch of his career, but it's not far off. Like, we've seen him, he's averaging double figures in his shooting, in his scoring. Like, he is averaging 10 points a game. Like, over the last 5 or 6 games, he's getting his rebounding up to, like, I think I saw 5 rebounds a game. It's absolutely fantastic to see. Like, finally, Patrick is getting. He's showing signs of life. Now, I want to do a little quick shout-out to my mate, Paddy, who did hit me up on Twitter. He wanted to talk a little balls. He probably knew I'd use some of what he said for some notes. So I'll quickly go through what he said. Kobe White, sick of the broken record with this guy. It's time to wake up. You're a 2-guard, simple as that. But in saying that, you're a dangerous one as a 2-guard that can easily lead a team in points. I know DeMar DeRozan is the leader I get that, but just to move aside, when Kobe cooks, he really cooks. Let him finish out the game. Sorry, I'm trying to read. That's why I'm also driving home, so it's probably not the best idea to be doing. Billy D, you got three solid point guards. Just put one aside, and Kobe, and he'll just put one of them aside, and Kobe, he'll go to work every time. Don't put him in as the main point guard. You're flogging a dead horse then. As for Zach and DeMar, I love these guys, but me personally, it's time to invest in the youth. You have two assets and a bunch of brilliant forwards in the next draft. It's time to chase some picks and young assets. Also, the targets need to be the forward role. You have the big man easy, the point guard rotation, Kobe and Torrey perfect as a scorer defender rotation. Right there, just for the love of God, AK, strengthen that forward area. Now, Paddy does like to do a lot of scouting in the off-season, like him being and obviously more for him right now being a Portland fan, like Portland's not going through a great stretch of period themselves. Paddy does love his scouting, so shout out to you on that, Pads. I couldn't for the love of me do it. And so he's been looking at players for Chicago in the draft, in the 2024 draft, and he's mentioned like Isaiah Collier. I think it was Ron Holland he's also mentioned. The one player I've unfortunately not been able to actually check out, but I would love to keep an eye on as well, mostly because I do want to move on from Nikola Vucevic, is Alex Saar, who's over here in Australia playing for the Perth Wildcats. He's not having, I mean, we play 10-minute quarters over here, we have the FIBA rules, and I think Alex Saar is playing about 18 to 20 minutes a game, and by the looks of it, and like coming off the bench, and by all accounts, actually doing a fairly solid job. So, hey, Paddy, maybe you can keep watching, since our Adelaide 36ers are absolute dog trash. And finally, goodbye, CJ Bruton. See you later. Get out of town. But maybe you can keep an eye on Perth and tell me how Alex R is doing, and tell Bulls Nation how Alex is doing. If somehow, you know, the Bulls don't keep on this path of winning games all of a sudden, and we end up in the lottery. I also can get my words out. And hopefully we end up with somewhat of a relatively high draft pick. But back to the Bulls. Probably not too much more to cover. Like everyone else out there in the podcasting world has been all over this, and I'll be honest, I've been rather slack trying to get a pod out. Absolutely love the way that DeMar played that game against the Pelicans. Like I mentioned before, you know, 24 points, 10 assists. Just the way that he clearly bought in to what was working in that game against Milwaukee, that was the most impressive part for me with DeMar. Now, it is going to be very interesting to see if Zach does return before the trade, because we do know that a trade is coming. It's just a matter of when. That if he does return to the court before he is traded, if he himself also buys in to this playing style, because like Zach can absolutely, I personally think Zach's skill set fits with this style of play far more than what DeMar's does, but it does just like seem like Zach is more interested in getting his own shots, his own points. But in saying that as well, he has absolutely had his games where he's only taken, like he hasn't even been in double-digit shots, and we're all screaming at him for not to shoot more. But if Zach, and I put that down to, I honestly do put that down to Zach being checked out of this team. He wants out, obviously he wants out of town, and he has requested that trade. But hey, I think if Zach can actually get back into the mind frame of, hey, if I actually play really good and get back to being Zach LaVine, especially with this report coming out from Adrian Wojnarowski saying that there is no trade market out there for Zach LaVine, Zach needs to start getting back to being Zach. That 3-point threat, getting to the bucket, slamming it on everyone's heads, like leaving Adam Silver's signature in everyone's foreheads like he used to. That trade market will come back. And it only benefits Zach. It only benefits the Bulls. But so unless he's playing the whole game of, I've told the Bulls where I want to go and that's that. Like, for example, the Lakers, where we end up with that Austin Reaves, Rui Hachimura deal. Then if that's what he's got his mindset on, then we're not going to see Zach fit into what this game plan has become in the last couple of games. But hey, if Zach is open to being traded to, like, even Detroit, which probably, you know, Zach wants to win, so he probably doesn't want to go to Detroit. But for the most part, if he can actually get back to being Zach, it does open up the trade market more, that more teams will actually get interested in Zach. Now, speaking of Detroit, now, Patty knows I do hate Detroit and I hate talking about them. Like, he didn't have that little comment in the last podcast where I did say, hey, open up to, did anyone want to ask me anything specific? And all he said was Pistons, and this was coming off the back of me being already being in a bad mood. So he wants to mention Detroit just to rile me up. So glad I could give you that laugh, Patty. But there has been, you know, Bobby Marks did come out with this talk that, and I don't know why he used this phrase, and shout out to Hayes and Pat the designer for making a mockery of it, because it was well deserved. But Bobby Marks used the phrase, Detroit might want to dip their toe into Zach LaVine. Now, if he worded it correctly, it would have been they might want to dip their toe into the Zach LaVine trade market. So, Bobby, you might want to get your words a bit more straight there, dude. But yeah, a lot of us Bulls fans, or there's been some of us Bulls fans in the Bulls Twitter world. Shout out to the local Bulls fan and Morris. Shout out to you, Morris. We've been had this idea about going after Jaden Ivey from the Pistons for a while now, and now it does seem like that whole idea is actually starting to catch on a bit more as well. And the trade that I would personally look at if we could get Jaden Ivey, I mean, obviously he's the centerpiece of the deal. The trade that I did come up with, you know, probably a good 6 weeks ago, I reckon now was like, also we send Zach to the Pistons, and in return we get Jaden Ivey, Bogdan Bogdanovic, and James Wiseman. Now, for the most part, now I can't remember Bogdan's contract situation. I think it might be 2 more years left on his deal. I think James Wiseman may have 2 years left on the deal. Hey, that's better than the 4 years or 3.5 years left of Zach at his contract. And, you know, I did have one person who did ask me, What is it that I see in Jaden Ivey? Now, my response to that was, to me, he looks like a younger version of Zach LaVine, but he's got more of that dog in him. And to be completely transparent and honest, the only times I've actually ever seen Jaden Ivey play is like play full games, because yeah, I've seen highlight packages and stuff. But the only full games I've seen Jaden Ivey play is against Chicago. So full transparency there. I've only ever seen Jaden Ivey in full games against the Bulls, because I only watch the Bulls and I can't be honestly asked watching any other team. Not that I really have time for it anyway with my kids' schedule with their own basketball games and trainings and all that gear. But yeah, he looks like a younger version of Zach LaVine, but with more of that dog in him. And that part I love. Now, is he as good a shooter as Zach LaVine? No, not yet, but Zach wasn't exactly the greatest shooter coming into the league himself either, and Jaden Ivey's only in his second season. And with this, with Peter Patton as the new shooting coach, hey, there's plenty of time to get to work on Jaden Ivey. Then the other piece in that deal, Bogdan Bogdanovic. Now you could, as far as a trade goes, you could either swap out him and Joe Harris. I mean, if you want Harris for more, I think he's on expiring contract. I mean, you could swap either one of them out. Ideally, I'm looking at more from a wing shooting perspective. We both know they're both snipers. So, depending on where you want that security of having Bogdanovic, or you want an expiring deal, then you go get, you swap out Bogdanovic for Joe Harris. And then that with James Wiseman, part of that is just like, yeah, James Wiseman hasn't shown anything. But hey, if you were to move on, if there was another trade there where, you know, we've heard talks that other teams have called about Andre Drummond. Well, if you move on Andre Drummond, well, there's your new backup center in Wiseman. And who knows, like, yeah, the kid had a rough trot in Golden State. You know, coming number two draft pick, I think he was, coming into the Golden State Warriors, the team that had championship aspects. Dude's not going to get any playing time. And then, obviously, with the guys that they've got in Detroit already, like, you know, Jalen Duren, for example, and Isaiah Stewart, I mean, Wiseman's not exactly going to get the playing time with Detroit either. But if Wiseman can come in and be that shot-blocking, rim-running, athletic center off the bench, then I'm good with that. And, you know, you've still got him under contract for another couple of years. I mean, to me, that's a good young replacement for Drummond. And as much, I mean, obviously, don't get me wrong, I wouldn't expect Wiseman to come in and replace Drummond's productivity with, like, you know, the double-doubles in 15 minutes of play. Not expecting that. But hey, he can come in and get some, clean up the boards and block some shots and, you know, and be that rim-running athletic threat. I mean, that's all I could ask from Wiseman at this stage. And then there was the talks about DeMar DeRozan. I mean, if he is traded, his preferred destinations being the Miami Heat and the New York Knicks. Honestly, I would rather trade DeMar to the Lakers and for a deal with like Rui Hachimura and, you know, whoever else you can get in to fill the salary cap to make the salaries work in that deal, because honestly, there's nothing really spectacular from the New York Knicks that I would want. I mean, like, honestly, your best package from them would be like a Quentin Grimes. Looking at him as that young guy who's a shooter, and like Evan Fournier with the expiring contract coming up. I think he's expiring, like, off the top of my head, I honestly don't know. There was one trade I did see, a Zach LaVine trade I did see from Keith Smith, I believe it was, saying a deal revolving around Zach going to the Pacers. And there were some other pieces involved, I'm pretty sure. I think it was a three-team deal. But the deal was basically, like, we send Zach to Indiana and we get back Benedict Mathurin and Jalen Smith, and I think it was Marcus Morris. It might have actually been a two-way deal, now that I say that out loud. If you can get that deal for Zach LaVine, okay, get on the phone, call it in now. Like, Benedict Mathurin is an absolute dog, and you'd take that deal in a heartbeat if you're the Chicago Bulls. You know, Jalen Smith, you know, he's another one of those guys at center of the position who's the athletic, shot blocking, rim running guy who can get the rebounds. I mean, I know Big Dave is, I think, pretty sure it was Big Dave who's gone on about this bloke for a couple of years now. Might even be Stacey King. But I would take that deal in an absolute heartbeat to get Benedict Mathurin to Chicago. And there was one other deal I did say. It was, I think it was a Zach trade. It might have been DeMar. Can't remember, but it, so I'm not actually, now the fact that I don't even remember what that deal was, I'm not even going to speak about it because I'm just going to absolutely butcher it. So yeah, we got the Charlotte Hornets coming up without LaMelo Ball. And that is at the UC. I mean, we'll wait and see on whether Zach LaVine is back. I mean, based on the initial report, he would be out for this game plus the San Antonio game on Saturday, my time. Think off the top of my head. So yeah, Zach should be out for that game. I think that Caruso is listed as questionable, and there was someone else that was listed as questionable as well, but I would anticipate they will absolutely play. But Caruso, with his toe injury, honestly, I wouldn't mind giving him, I know we've had, you know, 3 days off now, but I wouldn't mind giving him another couple of days off just to get the toe right, and especially, hey, if he is involved in a trade. And I say God forbid because I don't want him traded. I want him to stay in Chicago. It'd be very interesting to see if this, now there's been a break in play, 3 days off in between games, whether this type of tempo keeps up from the Milwaukee and the Pelicans games. I hope it does. If we can keep playing in that fashion, but we lose, hey, I'm gonna walk away happy. If they can, and it's the thing, like Big Dave goes on about constantly, give me effort. That's all we want. I can handle losing games, but give me effort. Show me that you give a damn. The reason a lot of us Bulls fans got pissed off over the last, for most of the season so far, is that these guys have not looked like they gave a fuck. These last couple of games, they absolutely look like they do give a fuck. And it has shown off. If you can continue to play in that manner, but you lose, that's okay. I can walk away. I can turn off my TV after that game's done. Well, after I'm done watching the game, because as everyone knows, I can't watch the games live. I mean, I've only seen one game live this season. I watched the games hours after the fact because of the time zones here, or how the time zones work out. I mean, a 7 o'clock game in Chicago starts at 11:30 a.m. here, and I'm in the middle of my work day, so can't watch games live. I watch them later at night, my time. So if they can keep up this style of play and keep up this heart, hustle and muscle and this effort, but they lose, I'm okay with that. But honestly, if I was to give a prediction about this game against the Hornets without LaMelo Ball, and I said Mark Williams is questionable with a lower back contusion, there is absolutely no reason why we don't win this game. And honestly, this would be a game where honestly I would actually be upset at a loss, because no LaMelo, if Mark Williams is out with that back contusion, if we play the way that we have been playing these last couple of games, we should absolutely destroy the Charlotte Hornets. We should destroy them. And then we got the Spurs in San Antonio coming up on Saturday. My time. Our first look at Victor Wembanyama. So that's going to be an interesting game. Well, I can see Victor absolutely smoking. Absolutely cooking, roasting, smoking, whatever other term you want to use, he's going to do it to Vucevic. But hey, if Vucevic can actually realize that he probably weighs about 100 pounds more than what Wemby does, and puts his body into Wemby, he might actually be effective. But Wemby's an alien, he's not real. Those arms go for days. Wemby could just stand there, put his arms up and out rebound, and shoot over Vucevic. And that's with Vucevic jumping as high as he can, which is probably, to be honest, is no more than the height of a Coke can. So yeah, hopefully we can continue this way of play, as I've mentioned already. So yeah, looking forward to it. Before I sign off on this one, guys, I know I left the voicemail with him and I've said it on Twitter already, but I do want to wish Hayes from Chicago Bulls Central and Locked On Bulls a very happy 37th birthday. Welcome to the 37 Club, my man. Hope you had an absolute awesome day. Sounds like you've had a great day. That voicemail that your best mate left you, obviously I cannot repeat that for obvious reasons, but that was funny as hell. So yeah, mate, happy birthday to you. Welcome to Club 37. Hope the kids absolutely sport you rotten. Hope the parents were good to you. So yeah, happy birthday, legend. And again, we appreciate you, everything you do for Bulls Nation. And I appreciate everything, like how you've supported me as well with my podcasting journey. So massive shout out to you, mate. Happy birthday. You're an absolute legend. Thank you, Hayes. So I'll sign off there, guys. It's been a bit of a longer podcast since I had a nice little long drive from home, finishing work to home. So yeah, I'm not sure when I'll be back again, but hopefully when I do come back, we've got some, I'm not going to say wins, but some good basketball to talk about. I mean, regardless of whether that's a win or a loss, I just want to see some good basketball. I want to see some good Chicago basketball. I want to see the effort. So yeah, until next time, guys, you can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Troy, and you can, more importantly, follow the show at Whole Lotta Bull. Share it, you know, if you can, please share it with your friends. Share it amongst Bulls Nation. Help the pod grow a little bit more. That'd be much appreciated. So, until next time, guys. See you, Red. Let's go, Bulls.